He says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." Agents of change. Lord have mercy. All right, let's start off here by talking about us as believers. And as a believer and born again, you are born from death to life. And the Bible says that we have been born in John 3:3 from above. And as you were born again, you were someone who God had in mind before the start started. Now come over here to Ephesians chapter 2, please. In Ephesians chapter 2, now let me tell you what I would do. I want to give you something that you can start working right now. Yes. That will change your life, change the life of people around you, and so forth. Say amen to this. Amen. He says over here in chapter 2 and verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. And not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." Let's go over and take that last verse, verse 10, out of the Amplified, if you'll put that up there, please. Out of the Amplified, it gives you a little bit more definition. "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we might do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live." Now that's a lot. Now what that says really is that you are not a mistake. God predetermined you in this earth and also has already pre-planned your success. You are not any kind of spiritual mishap. So no matter how you were conceived, whether you know your mother or father or you don't know them, God had the power to prevent your conception. But he didn't. He allowed it because he wanted you to show up for this hour. Many times as you look at yourself and people try to compare themselves with other people and so forth like that, that's not important. Because he has a plan for you. So, as you look at your life and what God has said about you, your dad may have been an alcoholic, your mama may have been a prostitute, but you were supposed to still be here. Now, I'm not saying that happened, but I'm just saying I don't care how bad the situation looked. All right? So your very existence means that God wants you to exist. Say, I'm special. Since the day you were born, God even speaks about it in Psalm chapter 139. Let's look at that, please. In Psalm chapter 139, he says, verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in thy book, all my members were already written. Verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts to me, O God, how great is the sum of them. So God already has a plan for your life. Let's go over to Jeremiah chapter 1. Over in Jeremiah chapter 1, he says in verse 4, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Right there, just showed you right there that the baby's life begins in the belly. Amen. And before thou came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. In other words, I already planned what the purpose is for your life before you even came out of the womb. Amen. Say, I'm special. Now, I'm saying that there was something that you were born to do. You were not just a mistake that came in the earth, but God plans for something. There's plans for something that you are to do. Now, in this, you have to realize that you and I have potential. And potential is just, one man could say it like this, it's hidden abilities. And so it's already inside of you. Potential, if I hold an acorn seed in my hand, the potential of that acorn seed is in that acorn seed. Say amen to that. Amen. And if I put it in the right environment, it will grow to its full potential in that location. But then it gives off more acorns that more trees come. So this one tree turns into a whole forest. I'm talking about you are important now, okay? Now, you'll find that when people don't understand value and they don't value themselves, you'll find that they don't treat themselves right. And when they look down on themselves, the tendency is that they look down on other people as well when they don't value themselves. All right, let's go to a second part of this. Your world is created by what you plant. All right, let's stay with me now. The enemy's job, who comes to stop you, because he knows that if you end up in the plan that God has for you, not only will you be successful, but you'll affect the lives of so many other people. Okay. So the enemy's job is to control you. And the way he tries to do that is to control what you think. Control what you think. Now, people don't realize it, that thoughts are also seeds. Thoughts are also seeds. And I like what one man said. He said, you can't keep a bird from flying over your hair, but over your head, but you can keep him from building a nest in your hair. Amen. Why? Because if you have a certain thought, don't dwell there. Are you with me? All right, let's show you why. Now, I'm talking about agents of change now, because if you're going to change your environment, you have to first be changed. All right, let's look at Proverbs in chapter 23, one you know so well, But let's just look at it again. Proverbs chapter 23. And it says in verse 7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." All right, let me give you another translation. You might want to put it in your Bible, something, because this is Bible study. What he believes is where he will end up. What he believes is where he will end up. Now, why is that so important? Because as powerful as God is, he doesn't operate beyond your belief. Okay. Now, if you got somebody else who can pray with you or pray for you who believes something greater, then they can get their belief, of course, to accommodate you and the thing that you need. But I'm saying if God's going to work through you, he can't work through you except to the degree that you believe. That you believe. Now, that's very important. Through you. Now, there's two things I want to show you with that. One, let's just look at that. Let's look in the Old Testament in Numbers chapter 13, please. In Numbers chapter 13, the 12 spies came back, and they came back, and 10 of them had an evil report. Now, watch this now, because Satan is after controlling your thoughts. All right? Verse 26. "And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel to the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, 'We came into the land where you sent us, and truly it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land to the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan.' And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to do what? Overcome it.'" Okay? We are well able to overcome it. "But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we are.' And they brought up an evil report, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which you've gone to search it is a land that eateth up its inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it were men of great stature.'" Now, they're saying all this to the congregation. "And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we," where? "In their sight." Now notice two distinctively different reports looking at the same thing. Now if you put something right there for me, and look over here in Deuteronomy chapter 9, just put something right there because I'm coming right back. Deuteronomy chapter 9, and look at verse 1. "Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day, to go in to possess nations greater and what? Mightier than thyself. Cities great and fenced up to heaven." So right there, God is leading you into a battle that without him, you cannot win. This is what he's saying. They're greater than you. They're greater than your natural strength. You can't do it. Now, Jesus said, I'll never leave you or what? Forsake you. So he's with you. He said, lo, I'm with you always. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, how can God work through you? And I just said, he cannot work through you except to the degree that you believe. So I've got to affect my believing. My thinking. I've got to affect that if I want God to go with me into whatever I'm facing and I get victory. Amen. Got it? All right. Now, the enemy knows that what you see is what you believe, because you've been made that way. What you see is what you believe. Now, let me just keep Numbers chapter 13 there, and let's go all the way over to John chapter 20, please. All right, now watch this. This is when Jesus was raised from the dead, and he appeared to his disciples. But one of them wasn't there, named Thomas. All right? So over here it says in verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them. Well, I better start up here at verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they what? Saw the Lord. Underline, saw. You're designed to believe what you see. You're designed to that. Now just hold on to that, because I got to add something to that. All right, and then verse 24, now Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we've seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands a print of nails in his hand, and put my finger into the print of nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not what? I will not believe. And after 8 days again, the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not what? Faithless, but what? Believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed. Are you with me? Blessed are they that have not seen, yet believe. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are what? Temporal. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. Now, what is that just telling you? It's telling you that you got two sets of eyes. You've got two sets of eyes. You've got the eyes of your spirit, and you've got the eyes of your natural. And you are designed to control this earth. And you cannot control it with the eyes of your natural man. You cannot do that. You control it with what we call revelation knowledge. Knowledge that is beyond natural physical knowledge. All right, case in point. Yeah, I was working for a company, IBM, and now God was speaking to me about starting full-time ministry, full-time. But I just couldn't go. Every time I try to set a date for it, baby need a new pair of shoes, something else is due. I said, boy, I better stay here and get this check here, you know. Well, I couldn't move. Now, I heard a man preach on seed time and harvest. So he preached from Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30. No man that has left house or mother or father, sister, brother, so forth, land, for my sake in the gospel, but he shall receive 100-fold now. Now, what did I do? The Holy Spirit quickened me and said, you need to meditate that. All right? So what is meditation? Meditation, or biblical meditation, is a God-given process that produces a spiritual experience which causes a permanent change in your thinking. I'll do it again. Biblical meditation, a God-given process that produces a spiritual experience which causes a permanent change in your thinking. So a God-given process that causes a spiritual experience that produces a permanent change in your thinking. Okay? All right. So he said, meditate that. So I meditated Mark 10, 29, and 30. One day, on University Avenue in St. Paul, Minnesota, something exploded within me. What was it called? A mental breakthrough. A mental breakthrough. And some people sitting here right now, you need a breakthrough. You need breakthrough thinking. And once that light came in, it overshadowed all other light. Let me give you the scripture. It's found in Ephesians chapter 1 and 17. 1 and 17, yes. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation in the what? Knowledge of him. Keep going. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now take that verse right there, that verse 18, and give it to us in the Amplified translation, please. By having the eyes of your heart, that's the eyes of your spirit, keep going, flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you. And how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones. Now, what happened when I had this flash to go on inside of me at University Avenue in St. Paul, Minnesota, that day? All right. This light that came inside of me filled my, I want to say eyes, but my heart with a greater knowledge than what I had before. Lord have mercy. Y'all stay with me. Please stay with me because I'm going somewhere tonight. I told the Lord on the way up here, I said, Lord, I'm going to take them on out there tonight. Show you another one. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. I'm still coming back to Numbers. Galatians chapter 1. We're talking on agents of change now. Right? Because the church pretty much been following the world instead of leading the world. And they haven't been leading them because they don't have revelation. They don't have that light. And you got to get that light because it's going to give you a greater knowledge and greater understanding. It's going to give you more advantages. In fact, you are made to be informed on another level. Look at Galatians, now chapter 1. Now stay with me, watch this. Verse 11, this is the Apostle Paul talking. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the what? Revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, let's keep going in verse 15.
But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with what? Flesh and blood. Got it? So notice, when he got that revelation, I'm not talking about information. Information comes naturally. It comes through the natural senses. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a higher level of knowledge. It comes by the revelation of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Ghost. And he's your teacher. He teaches you on a higher level, greater truths. Got it? So he is saying, hey, I got some things by the Holy Ghost here. I got some things about Jesus Christ. Why? Because he wasn't born during the time that Jesus was and walked the earth. He came after that. So he couldn't walk with him, talk with him, see him feed the poor, see him so forth. He had to get all of his like you got to get yours. You got to get yours by revelation. You get in that Bible and start meditating on a scripture where Jesus went up by the synagogue and so forth, and all of a sudden you'll start seeing it there. You'll start being there. You'll start seeing people standing around. You'll start, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is able to take you back in time and show you things. He's able to take you forward and show you things to come. Folks, this Christian experience is not you just coming here and listening to something. It's something that is going to take you and inform you on another level that you should leave out of here full of a joy that you never had in your life. Because when you can see what other people can't see, you can go where other people can't go. You can do things other people can't do. Another one. Let's go to Acts chapter 9, please. Say, I'm going to be informed from this day forward on another level. Let's look at Acts chapter 9. Look what it says here in verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, meaning any that were confessing Christ, whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a what? Light from where? Heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you persecuted. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling, astonished, and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men that journeyed with him stood speechless. They heard a voice, but saw no man. And Saul arose from the earth. And when his eyes were open, he saw what? No man. That light had blinded him. That was the first sermon I preached in my life called Stricken by the Light. You're seeing something other people can't see, but you were informed from another level. Let's go to another one. Matthew chapter 16, please. Now, why am I doing this? Because I want to encourage you not to just come in, sit up and look at me. I'm encouraging you to bring a word that you can see in that Bible, because you wouldn't be here if you didn't have some obstacle in your life. And I'm telling you, you can remove the obstacle right away, but you got to get information from another level. As long as the enemy can keep you in a place where you are only being dictated to by your senses, he will lead you around Chicago with a ring in your nose and lead you all around town for years and years and years. And you'll find you'll be dealing with the same problem today that you did 10 years ago, the same problem. Why? Because you need a breakthrough. You need a breakthrough in your thinking. And so you got to come and say, wait a second. This is not some religious thing that I'm in right here. This is life.
This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, folks, it's one breakthrough after another that you're going to get. One breakthrough after another. Yes, say amen to that. So they listened at the dictates of their senses when they said, hey, they're giants, so forth and so on. Folks, let me tell you, anytime you're fighting the devil, if you're fighting him in your own strength, he is a giant. You just get ready. He is a giant. You've got to drop back and get a hold of the anointing of God through revelation, through the word of God, through meditation. And let me tell you, when you feel that strength, now you step out on that word and it will shatter everything that's blocking your way. Y'all sit with me. Where did I tell you to turn? Matthew chapter 16. Look at Matthew chapter 16. And this is when they were up at a place called Caesarea Philippi. And they were up there. And here is Jesus. He said in verse 13, Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi with his disciples, asked him, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say you are John the Baptist. Some say Elias, or that's Elijah. Or others said Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said, then, but who do you say that I am? Now, let me just ask you a question. When they first start giving answers, where did they get those answers from? Their natural mind. They got it out of their reasoning. They got it out of what makes common sense. That's where they got it out of. And Adam fell from the mind of God to common sense when he fell in the garden. God is taking you back to the mind of Christ. He's taking you back there. No longer will the intellectual have to lead you in the way that you should go. You're going to get something called revelation, which is going to be a download from God, and it's going to take you through every obstacle that you might have in this life. Praise God in heaven. Say amen to that. Verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said to him, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not what? Revealed it to thee, but my Father in heaven. So let me just say this right now. Jesus wasn't asking for something that came out of a school classroom that you could study. Jesus was asking for something that you can't learn, you have to discern. Now say amen.
Amen.
So I'm saying that what is revelatory in the heavens is prophetic in the earth. And these things right here in heaven are learned, that in heaven, as a matter of fact, you don't learn in heaven. Glory to God. In heaven, you just know stuff. You just know stuff. Say amen to that. Can I show you this? Once you get out of this body, you just know stuff. Can I show you that? That scripture is found over in Luke's gospel and chapter, glory to God, 16. Luke chapter 16. Let me know when you get there. In Luke chapter 16, this is when, verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And then there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And moreover, the dogs came and licked the sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was what? Buried. In hell, he lifted up his eyes. Now, who is he talking about? Lazarus or the rich man? The rich man. He went to hell. Jesus preached on hell. In hell, he lifted up his eyes. Now, let me ask you something. Where was his body? His body was 6 feet under in that grave. Where was he? In hell. So you are not your body. Your body is your house while you're here in this earth. Say amen to that.
And when your body experiences this thing, that's as far as your body can take you. Now, for you to get things spiritually, you're going to have to deal with the spirit. And he said, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes. So his eyes were in his spirit, being in torment and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, saying, what? Father, come on, say it. Abraham, have mercy on me and send who? Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. All right, now let's examine that verse. He said, Father Abraham. How did he know Abraham? Because he wasn't born during Abraham's time. You know stuff. You know people. Because you're going on a higher level now. Say amen. Amen. In that level, you just discern. You just know. To be informed on a higher level means that you go in a place and you say, wait a minute, I don't feel right in here. You follow what I'm saying? You can't explain it because it's on another dimension. Folks, heaven is dimensional. If somebody said, well, heaven is up. Okay, fine. It's up in America. All right, what about the other side of the earth? If you ask somebody, well, where is heaven? Oh, it's up. But they're pointing the other way. Why? Because heaven is not up. It's dimensional. It's dimensional, folks. It's in another level. It's in another realm. When you step out of this body, you step in the presence of the living Savior. Oh, have mercy. See, when he talks about that you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ, that's not way away. Them blessings are hitting you upside the head. They're just spiritual, and you can't see them. But they're right there. A new kidney for you is right there. God made that new kidney. Come on now. You've got to have faith to transport it from the unseen realm into the seen. I'm preaching. I don't care. I told you I'm going to take you out there. I don't care whether you want to go or not. Now, look at that verse again, that same verse. Put it up there. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now, watch this. Notice his personality of ordering that poor man around has never changed. If you were mean before you died, you're going to be mean in hell. If that's where you go. But if you go to heaven, they ain't going to have none of that. Listen. Jesus preached this. If you were critical before you died, you're going to be critical. Because your personality comes from your spirit. That's why when you get to heaven, there's school there. You're not stopping learning. He's got enough potential in you to last for eternity. Do y'all want to go out there or not? And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his what? Finger. Now, Lazarus's body was 6 feet under over there. And it had fingers on it. It had tongues in it, so forth and so on. But notice, Lazarus, who is now spiritual, is now in Abraham's bosom, and he's got a finger. So the only reason you've got a finger naturally is because you've got a finger spiritually. Because things can't exist, the physical can't exist without the spirit. The Bible talks about the hand of God. The Bible says God laughed. The Bible said God is person. You were made in his image. He's not talking about your body. God would be a monstrosity if he was talking about your body with a black head, a white body, a red arm. No, that's not. He's talking about your spirit. You are kin to him. You are his offspring. You are his child. So without a body, you got a finger. Without a body, you can feel flames. Without a body, you can cry. Without a body, a person could be tormented and want some water. That's what they said about in hell. In hell, there's no water. See, you go through dry places, they're symbolic of hell. And because there's no water. When God comes in, there's moisture. Yeah. Say amen. Amen. I can come sometime. Well, I will say that. But if I can cool my tongue while I'm talking. Now, what I'm trying to tell you, notice every sense that we have, eyes, ears, nose, smelling, how to, every sense you have in the natural is because you have it in the spirit. And the job of growing up is to train your spiritual man. Folks, I have come into places and smelled death. It is so, got such a stench, I couldn't stay there. It was in a restaurant. I couldn't stay there. I have been worshiping and praying God, with God at home sometimes, and all of a sudden I start smelling some flowers. Now, these are not the flowers my wife puts in my room sometimes. So I start smelling, start kind of perfume like, man. I've been asleep, and the Spirit of God would wake me up. You know, I'd kind of oversleep because I get up early, and I kind of oversleep, and all of a sudden I hear something. Man, I woke up. I had to laugh because I don't have an alarm clock. That's my spiritual ears. He did that to me. How about this one? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You eat that word sometimes, you can taste it. Man, that's good. When you're here right now, I'm feeding you. Your spirit is eating right now. Folks, your body, remember what I said. Even speech, the original of speech in the garden was not primarily to communicate with. It was to create with. See, to grow up means to be spiritually minded. To be immature is to be carnally minded. Carnally means meat. Meat, meat eater, meat head, meat. But growing up. But when you grow up like that, now you can see things that other people can't see. You can do things other people can't do. Say amen to this. Amen. And this is not for everybody, because everybody doesn't want this. You know, there was a rich man and Lazarus. Everybody don't want it, folks. Hey, you cannot force feed somebody. You cannot force. He said, to him that has ears to hear, let him hear. Some people don't want to hear it. If they don't want to hear it, they don't want to grow up. And not growing up is a very dangerous thing. Because now Satan is going to be trying to control you. Going to have you doing things that you never had any doing things to your family and something, then apologizing and doing things. Why? Just being run by the enemy. Senses, just carnal. But this message tonight is designed to have you grow up, to have you see what in fact you're dealing with out there. Say amen to that. I'm not criticizing anybody because we all have to grow. Are y'all with me here? Yeah. Man, did y'all get that? Yeah. All right, let's do the last part of this. Now, with that, you become more powerful. Because the spirit realm not only controls the natural realm, but it's more powerful than the natural realm. It's much more powerful. See, it's much more powerful. You can decree things. Now, where is that force coming out of? It's coming out of your spirit, man. You can't get that force out of your natural. The force in the natural is just human strength. But the force out of the spirit is a force of faith. And it'll move a mountain for you. It will move a mountain. It will make cancer stop and come out. It will. I'm talking about that because the enemy doesn't want us to get there. It's because we'll rule everything. Rule everything. When you say I'll never be broke a day in my life, you'll never be broke a day another day in your life. All right, can I finish this? Praise God. I'm enjoying this. Praise God. See, I'd like to take you on in. Are you following what I'm saying? I mean, see, Paul, the enemy tried to just wipe Paul out, but he couldn't because Paul had too much revelation. See. And when Paul found out things that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Say amen to that. That we have been made righteous. Paul found that out. Paul found out that all things are yours. Say amen to that. That God has already given you houses. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. There, praise God. Say amen. It'll be when the Lord thy God had brought you into the land which ye swear unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you great and goodly what? Cities, which thou what? Buildest not. Keep going. Houses full of all good things. Keep going. That thou filleth not. I mean, anything else. I mean, I want that. That's for me. Praise God. Amen. Remember, we're talking about agents of change. Say, I'm an agent of change. All right. Now, what I said there is you got to watch what you think. Because the enemy, let's go back to Numbers. That's where we were. Numbers chapter 13. All right. The enemy tries to use what you think to stop you. Say amen. Amen. All right. Watch this now. Watch this. Verse chapter 14 and verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses, against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God we had died in the land of Egypt, and would God that we had died where? In this wilderness. And wherefore has the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a what? Prey. Were it not better for us to return to Egypt, unto Egypt? And they said to one another, let us make a captain and let us return where? To Egypt. Now, I don't know how they're going to get back through that Red Sea, but this is what they were talking about. Okay. All right, now watch this. Watch this. Verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept when? That night. All right, notice. Meditation. What it does. Designed to change your belief. What are you supposed to meditate on? God's word. Got it? What were they meditating on? Come on. See, words that were inspired by the enemy. What did they get? Exactly what they meditated on. Whether it's good or it's bad, you are designed to make the choice yourself, and you choose what you're going to think about. You choose what you're going to think about. And the enemy's job is to take your past and heap it up to your now. to make you think on that. And when you see something, reflect back on your past. Well, see, I had a man that mistreated me like that too. You can't do that. Because God tells you to manage your mind. Put it up, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, to manage your own mind. Look what it says. He says this, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true. True. What's true is that God has already a plan for your success. Now, if you know that and know that's true and nothing can defeat God and nothing can defeat you as long as you stay with God, then why are you going to let that affect you? Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Now, somebody says they go and get a diagnosis that is a bad diagnosis from the physician. Question, is that a fact or is that true? It's a fact. It may be a fact that there's something in your body that shouldn't be there. But the truth is, by his stripes, come on.
Yes, 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 sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
Now, what am I going to do to get rid of that fact? 1 Corinthians and chapter 1 and verse, let's start at verse 27. Now, I'm not done with Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Look at it. But God has chosen the what? Foolish things to confound the wise. And God has chosen the what? Weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. Keep going. And base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen. Yea, the things which are not to bring to naught the thing that are. So he's chosen something that you can't see to bring to naught something that you can see. God has chosen his word and his promise, which you can't see tangibly right now, to bring to zero something that you can see. So his word is more powerful than anything in the earth. Everything must bow to his word. So I'm going to take his word and constantly beat it against whatever's trying to come against me. And what I see is going to go to zero. And what I didn't see is going to be manifest. You can't lose. He didn't say, let the weak say I'm weak. Said, let the weak say I'm strong. Why? Because if you're not strong, it's going to bring strength. Makes no difference. So what's going on in your house? Now what you need to do is get something you can't see. Go in that word and find his promise that promises you a peaceable habitation. That's what it says in Isaiah. I'm giving my people peaceable habitations. In my house, there is peace all the time. And anybody that come in there without peace can't stay. Because he's promised me peaceable habitation. Didn't promise me every now and then we have a big argument and so find somebody come in the house with a bunch of mess. Nope. Peace. Amen. There's music in your apartment building you don't like. Get that scripture. Amen. Somebody going to move out. Amen. And it's not going to be you. Because he's going to give you the apartment building. Amen. Say amen. Now, see what I'm saying? I'm saying we got to use this word. Yes. Well, stop just coming here looking at me and skinning and grinning and coming and say, wait a minute, I'm going to get me something tonight that's going to make me an agent of change. All right, last thing. So notice what they did. Meditation on the negative is called worry. So he had that same thing in Philippians. Put it up there. Philippians chapter 3. Pardon me. Philippians chapter 4 again, verses 6 and 7. And look what he says. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Keep going. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 6 again in the Amplified and put it up there, please. And just look at this. Do not fret or have any anxiety about what? Anything. Anything. See, when you step out of peace, you step into the temptation of the enemy. You got to stay under that word. God says, if I'm going to honor him, I need to be at peace. Now, right now, I know things don't look good for me, but I'm going to get me a good night's sleep. I mean, just look real ugly when you sleep. No, you don't. All right, I'm almost done. Last thing. Genesis chapter 6. And look at verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was what? Great in the earth. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only what? Evil continuously. Now, who do you think was the agent shooting thoughts of evil? Satan. They're called fiery darts. Let's go all the way over to 2 Corinthians in chapter 10. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of what? Strongholds. Thoughts that have made their way into your consciousness that are out of line with God's word. A stronghold. Now that's what I'm saying. You're going to get a series of breakthroughs from this night forward. Just for your information, this teaching here on the mind and the strongholds came right after Paul's teaching on money in chapter 9. Right after it. Look what he said, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Watch this. Casting down what? Imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity, come on, every thought into the obedience of Christ. See, thoughts are seeds. Two more places I'm gone. Look at Proverbs chapter 30, please. Proverbs chapter 30. This is why to dwell on a thought is so dangerous. Verse 32. If you have done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if you have thought evil, what do? Lay your hand upon your mouth. Let me just show you this. This is what happened to Job. Look at Job chapter 6 real quick. Job chapter 6. Now notice Job got his family wiped out. He got his livestock, his businesses, everything wiped out. Why? Something happened to Job's mind. The enemy came in on him, told him that his kids were this and kids were that. All of a sudden, worry took over. Now the enemy had an inroad to his mind. Now not only was Job probably thinking something, but he probably saying something. And you're going to have what you say. Look what he said in verse 23. Or deliver me from the enemy's hand. Or redeem me from the hand of the who? Mighty. Teach me, and I will do what? Hold my tongue. And cause me to understand where what? I have erred. Don't put it on God. God has a plan for you. And it's a plan for good. A plan for success. Say amen. Last scripture. Romans chapter 12. And this will pick up next time. Romans chapter 12. Did you all get something out of this tonight? Remember, a lot of this stuff is not taught, it's caught. You just got to catch it. Just say, I receive that. Praise God. Verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living what? Sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable what? Service. And be not what? Conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. All right, now there's one thing I want to say as a result of us reading that. To be conformed to this world is to be conformed to the dictates of time. You have eternity in you. And you are not subject to the dictates of this time realm. Lord have mercy. In other words, time does not rule over you. If God intended for us to live by time, He never would have given us faith. So what has happened? It has been time that has been ruling a lot, even in the church. And it's time for time to be defeated. I know the physician has been trained and gave you a certain time for whatever, but you can break the law of time. And once you discover this, it's amazing how you can come into the fullness of the operation of faith. And that's all I have. I won't take it. Y'all got a lot there tonight, so just hold on to that. Now, say this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus,
I realize now
revelation
is what I have
and what I must seek,
that I am
an agent of change.
No longer
will I let circumstances
dictate to me
what I can have,
what I can do,
and what I can be.
For I know now
that it may be a fact,
but I have the truth.
And I will
be victorious
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right.